Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is October 6th, 2021. It is 3:19 here on the East Coast. I'm assuming most of my viewers are, or most of my audience is living on the East Coast. I obviously could be wrong. Welcome back to the First Team All-Pro Podcast, and if it seems like I am upset, Ned, you're probably right. You would probably be justified in saying that. Yankees, you know what? I'm not even going to start with that. Let's just say the AL wild card, the first wild card game. And then of course, the NL wild card game is tonight between the Cardinals and the Dodgers. But we'll get right into the rest of the postseason bracket, and I'll make my predictions to who I think is going to win the World Series. But let's just get right into it. The Yankees season comes to an end in Fenway Park. It started in the first inning. I'm not going to even waste any time. The Red Sox got to Gerrit Cole early. It was not a good start from the get-go. I mean, let's face it, any Yankees fan like myself that was watching this game, it looked like Gerrit Cole was going to be able to breeze through the first inning, got the first two outs. Then he walked Rafi Devers, and then I believe on an 0-1 or an 0-2, I could be wrong about the count right there, but throws a changeup down the middle to Xander Bogaerts. What happens? Xander Bogaerts takes him dead center. Red Sox are on the board 2-0, and he just spiraled out of control after that. And then a couple innings later, Kyle Schwarber hits a solo bomb the right field, 3-0. Gerrit Cole only lasted not even three innings, and I'm speechless. But at the same time, it's like, maybe Gerrit Cole was hurt. I almost want to think he was hurt a little bit. He was still kind of roughed up from that injury. But at the same time, it's like it was a big game for the Yankees altogether. Like, let's be real. It was win or go home. They needed a big outing from him. And he got pulled in the third inning. And he only got six outs. Like, after those two home runs, like, that was it. And then, you know, Rizzo gave us a little bit of life. Or Rizzo gave the Yankees a little bit of life. It was 3-1. He had a solo home run. But the Yankees offense just completely vanished. I mean, absolutely vanished. Like I said, and I think I've said it in the last episode when we were talking about the wild card race updates. I'm pretty sure I said it. In order for the Yankees to have any success in the postseason, the bats need to be going immediately. Like, they need to beat pitchers immediately. And Nathan Eovaldi absolutely tore up the Yankees lineup. I think he only pitched like five or six innings, but he had like eight strikeouts. So that's all you need to know about how Eovaldi did against the Yankees the other night. He pitched well. I'm gonna give credit. He pitched well. He did what he needed to do. The Red Sox offense did what they needed to do. I'll give them credit. They did their job. The Yankees, they didn't. It was not fun. It was not fun to watch. And I would have said the game, you know, the game wasn't over at like 3-1, 4-1 because it was still a three-run game. But the second, I believe it was Jonathan Loaisiga, I could be wrong, either Loaisiga or Green, I think maybe a combination of both. But once they walked like two runners, and I think at one point the bases were loaded. Once Alex Verdugo hit that ball, that upstairs, maybe it was a fastball. I don't really remember the pitch. That night was like I said, that night really wasn't fun for me. Once Verdugo hit that one the opposite way, like, that was it. it almost made it impossible at that point to come back. It was 6-1. And I think this was in the seventh inning. Like I said, the rest of the night, it wasn't a fun night. I mean, yeah, let me check. Let's see. I think it might have been the seventh. It might have been the bottom of the sixth. I can check right now. Yeah, it was the bottom of the seventh. Those runs, that basically did it in. I mean, that was the nail in the coffin, let's be honest. And Cole getting bumped out early didn't help. I mean, Clay Holmes, I'm going to give Clay Holmes a lot of credit. Went 2-2 scoreless. He did his job, kept the Yankees' hopes of winning the wild card game on life support. It just all unfolded after that. The sixth, the seventh, I mean, and then they just couldn't get anything going. And then top of the nine, the only other run that came from the Yankees was a solo home run from Giancarlo. Who else? But it was complete torture as a Yankees fan. But again, You needed a good outing from Gerrit Cole. You didn't get it. Honestly, that Xander Bogaerts home run set the tone for the rest of the game. I don't normally like being this negative, but when you give up a home run, like a two-run home run that early in the game, like in a game you have to win with your season on the line, that set the tone for how the rest of the game was going to go. And the Yankees just could not get anything going against Nathan Eovaldi. Again, credit Eovaldi, credit the Red Sox. They did their job, both offensively and defensively. And that reminds me, it wasn't even some of the at-bats. The Yankees were all swinging for the fences to get home runs and all that, try to tie the game up. But it wasn't even that. Usually that kind of, you know, pisses me off. That kind of angers me a little bit. But the thing that really pissed me off was when Stanton hit that double. Might have been in the fifth. I'm trying to remember. I think it was the sixth. I think it was either the fifth or sixth. Stanton hit a double off the monster. It was like the third time he hit the monster. Like every time, and that's another thing, every time he hit the ball that night, it was heading towards the monster. It looked like, from the camera angle, it looked like it was going over the wall. But again, so he hit a double. The third base coach, I believe it's Phil Nevin. I believe that's who it is. I think he's the third base coach for the Yankees. Yeah, he waved Judge all the way home. And you guys have probably already seen that play. He waved Judge all the way home. And when he was rounding third, I think he was halfway towards the plate when that ball was already in Kevin Plawecki's glove. So he was out by a country mile. So that's another thing. What is your thought process there as the third base coach? What is your thought process there altogether? Like, why would you send him, like, when you know you need to get runs and you're running the risk. And forget what I'm just saying about running the risk. You ran the risk and it didn't pay off by a country mile. That has to be, if there was any mistake that sums up the entirety of that game, it was that mistake. It was that terrible, absolutely terrible choice to send Judge home. And then you know what happens next? Joey Gallo comes up to the plate. Hasn't been good. Let's face it, has not been good. And what happens? If I'm not mistaken, he struck out. He got out. It didn't matter. With two outs at that point, he got out. Inning was over. Looked like the Yankees were going to get some runs, maybe push Eovaldi out of the game or a little bit earlier, but didn't matter. I mean, even with Eovaldi coming out early, didn't matter. Didn't matter whatsoever. Yankees could not get anything going besides Rizzo and Stanton with those two home runs. I mean, the offense looked lifeless. And again, the biggest thing of this game was pitching. We all knew it. It was going to come down to pitching. And like I said, Gerrit Cole needed to pitch his best game of the season. He did not do it. He didn't bring it to the table. And with that being said, the Red Sox faced the Rays in the ALDS. As for the Yankees, I don't know where to go from here. Like, changes need to be made. I'm going to assume a lot of New Yorkers, including myself, are going to be talking about that miscue by Phil Nevin. That's not a miscue. That's a mistake. Forget miscue. That's a mistake. The mistake by Phil Nevin sending Aaron Judge home. That's going to be talked about in the Bronx for a while. That's going to be talked about by any New York Yankees fan for a while. But it doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter. Yankees couldn't get anything going regardless. It was just an absolute disaster. I mean, and again, like I said, got to give credit to the Red Sox. Like, they took advantage. They took advantage. They got the offense going early, and their pitching from Eovaldi was good. And now, forget good. It was great. He had like 8 strikeouts, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I just want to double check on that. Let's, 8 strikeouts. He pitched 5 1/3, allowed 4 hits, 1 run, 8 strikeouts. He was absolutely filthy. He was getting guys out left and right. Like, and remember, this, he got bombarded a couple weeks ago by the same Yankee lineup. He gave up 3 1/3. Because 3 1/3, and he got bullied out in like the third inning. This time it was Gerrit Cole getting bullied out in the third inning. Again, you know, it's another disappointing loss. Obviously, I'm upset. Wasn't the way I was expecting that to go down. But again, pitching did not show up. Definitely not the performance any Yankees fan expected out of Gerrit Cole. But, you know, life goes on, and I'll probably be back at the ballpark in April, considering the game I went to, which that reminds me, that game that I went to against Tampa, that last game of the season, of the regular season, it was electric. To go from that high to the low point that was last night, it just sums up the season. I mean, it was an absolute roller coaster, and Yankees didn't show up, plain and simple. But that being said, the ALDS is all set. The AL side of the divisional rounds are all set. It's White Sox, Astros, Rays, Red Sox. If you want to poke fun at me in the comments or something, poke fun at me in my DMs on my Instagram at Here's the Thing Sports. Go right after it. Have at it, because it's not fun right now. But that being said, enough of that. Yankee season's over on the 2022 for that. At this point, But let's move on to the NL wild card. We got a good game coming up for that one. We got the Dodgers and the Cardinals. The Cardinals, as you may recall, they won 17 straight to clinch a wild card spot. And they're going up against the defending world champions. I think Max Scherzer is pitching the wild card game for the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken. And I think Adam Wainwright. I think Adam Wainwright is pitching. Let me see. I want to check. I could be wrong. Again, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But, you know, it's going to be a fun one. I'm very much intrigued to see what happens that game. My prediction, like, the Cardinals, much like how the Red Sox got to Gerrit Cole, the Cardinals are going to have to get to Max Scherzer, because if he gets in a groove, it's going to be insanely difficult to beat him. So the Cardinals need to come right out of the gate swinging, and they just need to absolutely bombard Scherzer and drive him out of the game early. That's got to be the goal. Whether it's consistent hits, whether you're hitting a couple home runs off of him, it doesn't matter. Make him throw more pitches in the early innings and get him out of the game. That's got to be the game plan if I'm the Cardinals. And again, for the Dodgers, the game plan is simple. Get the bats going early. Get you know, Mookie Betts, Max Muncy, Cody Bellinger, get those bats going. Give Max Scherzer some run support early. It's going to be fun. It's going to absolutely be fun to watch that game. Do I really want to make a prediction for this wild card? To be honest, I don't. And I know any of my viewers know that half the time I do make predictions, they go horrifically wrong. But I have a sneaky suspicion, and I've said this, I think, a couple of times. When the cards get hot, they get hot. So I'm going to make my prediction and say the Cardinals, but not in like blowout fashion. I think it's going to be like a 3-run or a 2-run game. I'm not going to predict the scoreboard because, like I said, my predictions mostly go wrong. But I think the Cardinals are going to win by 2. Again, you can come back. You can come back to this and probably write it down as a freezing cold take. But again, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a fun one. And that being said, let's talk about football. Yeah, No. Before we even get to football, let's talk about the postseason bracket for MLB, or at least the let's talk about the divisional rounds, because I think sticking with predictions, I might as well make some predictions to what I'm seeing in the postseason. So White Sox and Astros, I'm going to be honest, both teams have been unbelievable this season. They both perform well, but I'm going to say, and again, this prediction will probably come back to bite me, I'm going to say White Sox in it's a best of five, if I'm not mistaken, in these series. So I'm going to say White Sox I wanted to say sweep or in four games, but I think this is going to go to five. Like, I genuinely believe, especially with how good the Astros are and how consistently good they've been for the last couple of seasons, I think the White Sox are going to win in five. I think it's going to be five. So, let me just check. Uh,
Let's see.
I believe it's a best of five. Yes, best of five. All right, I was right. So, yeah, I think this is going to be this has all the makings to be a really great series. So, yeah, I'm going to say White Sox in five. Screw it. White Sox in five again. Now that's going to piss off a lot of Astros fans. A lot of, you know, if there are any Astros fans that listen to this podcast. But, yeah. So, and then the Brewers and Braves, that's going to be a more difficult one to talk about. That's going to be a lot more difficult to predict. Because, again, both teams have been absolutely stellar this season. But I'm going to go... Again, this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough to predict, but I'm going to go... And to be honest, I think the Brewers and Braves, this is going to go five as well. Actually, I could be wrong, but considering how well Corbin Burnes has been playing for the Brewers, how well he's been pitching, and of course, you know, the bats in the lineup like Christian Yelich and company, I think this one might go five as well. I'm going to say Brewers in five. But again, it totally depends whether or not what happens when Corbin Burnes is pitching. Because if the Braves get to him, the Brewers might be in a little bit of trouble. But again, what do I know? I could be wrong. I can be completely wrong with these predictions. But yeah, so, and then Rays, Red Sox. I don't want to make predictions for that. I'm still trying to get over last night's loss, but I'm going to say Rays in either I'm going to say four. Cuz if Chris said, I'm going to say Rays in four, because Rays in four games, because, you know, if Chris Sale is on the mound for the Red Sox, the chances of them winning immediately skyrocket, because we all know any baseball fan, not even a Red Sox fan, not even if you're just a Red Sox fan, but you know when Chris Sale gets on, like baseball fans in general, like, you know when Chris Sale gets on the mound, like, it's going down. Like, the guy can put in significant amounts of work, and we'll see whether or not that happens. And if anything, the Rays are the division winners, you know, the AL East winners. So obviously Tampa's going to be tough, but I think with Chris Sale on the mound, I think that's going to be their best chance to win that game. And again, they'd also have to, you know, have the offense get going like they did against the Yankees. But again, I don't know. So those are my predictions. I'm not predicting any World Series champions, but because half the time I make the prediction, you know what? Yeah, I'm actually going to make a prediction. Hold on a second. World Series prediction, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm not going to go with the usual suspects. I'm not going to go with the Rays. I'm not going to go with the Astros. Even though the Astros definitely have the chance to get back there. I'm going to go, actually, you know what? I think the Rays might end up making the World Series for a second straight year. Especially with how, you know, guys like the new additions like Wander Franco, like the rookie, when he got called up, he's been playing unbelievable lately. Like, I watched that series, the last three games against the Yankees. His baseball IQ is unbelievable, both offensively and defensively. Like, and it hurts to watch as a Yankees fan, but He's good. He's really damn good. So Wander Franco is definitely going to be playing a big role for the Rays, as well as Randy Arozarena, you know, Brandon Lau, and of course the latest addition to the team, Nelson Cruz. So I honestly do believe the Rays are going to end up coming out of the American League again. But again, if I'm wrong, wouldn't be the first time. So, yeah, I think the Rays are going to come out of the American League. But I don't think but if they end up playing like the White Sox or the Astros, I think it goes like 6 or 7 games in the ALCS. I'm not saying it's going to be a complete bombardment, complete blowout on one side. I think the ALCS will end up being a really close series. And I think the NLCS eventually will be too. Depending on which teams make it. But, and then for the, on the NL side, I think I legitimately, and I didn't really think this. First off, I'm not going to lie. I did not think the Giants were going to make the playoffs. I'll admit it. I did not see this coming. Did not see this coming whatsoever. Because the last couple of years, they've been on the downturn. And then all of a sudden, they just came out of nowhere. And it's been pretty incredible to watch as a baseball fan. It's been very entertaining to watch as a baseball fan. But let's start with NLCS. NLCS predictions, or who gets to the NLCS. I think the Giants. I know any Dodgers fans that listen to this podcast, they're going to be upset. But I think the Dodgers have a real good shot at getting there. And then I think the Brewers. I'm gonna say we're gonna see a Rays White Sox ALCS and a Giants Brewers NLCS. And I think it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. Again, you know, obviously you gotta take into account how good the Cardinals have played coming into the playoffs, but will it be enough if they end up facing the Giants in the divisional round? Who knows? But, So for teams to go to the ALCS, these are my predictions. Again, I already went over it. Rays, White Sox, and then on the NLCS, in terms for the NLCS, I see the Giants playing the Brewers. And then World Series, I'm going to say White Sox, either White Sox and Brewers, or, you know what, I don't even want to make a World Series prediction, but you know what, I'm going to say, you know, I know how good the Rays are, I know how talented that team is, but I think the White Sox are going to surprise some people. I think they're really going to surprise some people. And again, you can come back to this episode if my predictions go horribly wrong. You can roast me in the DMs, at my Instagram at Here's the Thing Sports. But yeah, I think the White Sox, I think the World Series comes down to the White Sox. And I'm going to say the San Francisco Giants. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say the World Series is going to be White Sox and the San Francisco Giants. Those are my predictions. I think it's going to be a good one. But buckle up, folks. This is going to be some unreal baseball from here on out. As a baseball fan, as a Yankee fan, it's not fun for me. It's not fun now that the Yankees are out. For everyone else, it's probably fun. You know, having the... You know, not knowing that the Yankees aren't in it. But for me and other Yankees fans, not fun. But again, as a baseball fan, it's going to be a very entertaining playoffs. So with that being said, let's hop right on over to football. But yeah, let's get right into football. Might as well, considering now that the season's done. I mean, a lot of good games happened in week four. A lot of good games. Chargers beat the Raiders. Tom Brady returned to New England for the first time. Buccaneers got it done. 19-17. I know everyone was probably going to assume a blowout, considering it was Tom Brady versus the rookie Mac Jones, but it was a really good game. If anyone watched that game, it was incredibly fun to watch. I mean, and Tom Brady, in typical fashion, went off. I mean, he didn't have – the surprising thing about that game was that he didn't have any touchdowns. He had no touchdown passes, but he had 269 passing yards. I was surprised. I was honestly kind of surprised. I mean, I'm trying to see who had – I don't think any Buccaneers players had, like, touchdowns. Like, none of their wide receivers – I think it was mostly a defensive battle. I mean, the only touchdown that I see right here on the Buccaneers side came from Ronald Jones II for the rushing game for the Buccaneers. Mac Jones didn't have a bad game either. 31 for 40, 275 passing yards, two touchdown passes, and an interception. I mean, if you look past the interception, Matt Jones had one hell of a game. Like, but like it was that fun of a game to watch. Like, Matt Jones was tearing it up. It was, and you know, again, aside from that interception, he played a really good game. And again, that was one of the real fun games to watch. And then, you know, the Packers beat the Steelers. Steelers fans, how are you feeling right now? It's after that win against Buffalo, they lost three straight. No, a lot of Steelers fans are probably not happy. But, yeah. And the Packers improved to 3-1. The Cardinals beat the Rams 37-20. They are the only undefeated team left. They, like, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are going off. Like, they're the only, like... Think about this. Like, a few years ago, the Cardinals were one of the worst teams in the NFL. I'm sorry to say that, Cardinals fans. But prior to Kyler Murray, the Cardinals were one of the worst teams in the NHL or in the NFL. Wow. Oh, my God. I said NHL. Wow. That's how you know I'm having a rough day. But besides that, the Cardinals were one of the worst teams in the NFL for like the last decade, I think. The last time they were really good, they were like really good. They were in the Super Bowl, and that team was being led by Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald. But yeah. But now they're 4-0. I think, to be honest, I know the season's still early. I think the Cardinals make the playoffs. Especially with like the NFC West is pretty interesting. I mean, the NFC West is pretty interesting. I think it's going to be a dogfight between the Cardinals and Rams. I could be wrong. The Seahawks could prove me wrong, but right now it's looking like the Cardinals and Rams will be fighting for that top spot. Yeah. So let's go on to the other games that happen. Giants beat the Saints in overtime. Daniel Jones. He had an interception, but he had one hell of a game too. 28 for 40, 402 passing yards, two touchdowns for the first win of the season for the Giants. A much needed win because they'd really be in a hole if they started the season 0-4. And if I'm not mistaken, Daniel Jones got the NFC Offensive Player of the Week award. And I love to see it. And I don't want to jinx anything because I'm a Giants fan, but that was only his first interception this season. Only his first interception this season. I know I'm probably going to get slammed by making those comments, but It's really looking like Daniel Jones is getting a lot better. And again, as a Giants fan, I love to see it. I love to see it. I'm really enjoying it. And Kenny, and that's another thing. Kenny Golladay also had a nice day. 6 receptions, 116 yards. I mean, and not only that, a couple of the wide receivers were having a nice little day as well, aside from Golladay. But again, the Giants picked up a huge win on the road. They needed that. Now they go play Dallas. If they play exactly what they did, play exactly how they did against the Saints, if they play exactly how they did against the Saints, against the Cowboys, I think the Giants are going to win that. I again, maybe that's just the bias in me, because again, I'm a Giants fan. But again, that's a huge, nonetheless, that's a huge, huge win for the Giants. And then the Bills absolutely destroying the Texans, 40-0 shutout. 40-0 shutout. It was an absolute blowout from the get-go. Josh Allen had a field day. Absolutely ran wild. 20 for 29, 248 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, and that's my, and the thing is, that helped my fantasy team. As you know, I'm in a fantasy football league, and Josh Allen's my starting quarterback, and he's really pulling through for me right now. And the Bills improved to 3-1. And the Chiefs, Eagles, 42-30. The Chiefs won. This is Patrick Mahomes had a 5-touchdown day, 24 for 30, 278 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Tyreek Hill, who I also just so happen to have on my fantasy team, 186 receiving yards, 11 receptions, and 3 touchdowns. That's basically what won me the week. Josh Allen, Terry McLaurin, Tyreek Hill, and I think Dallas Goedert got me a significant amount of points. I know I don't want to talk too much about my fantasy, how my fantasy league's going for fantasy football, but I think those guys definitely won me the week. Let's check. And again, Jalen Hurts wasn't that bad either. 32 for 48, 387 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. And, you know, Devontae Smith had 7 receptions and 122 yards. But, and of course, yeah, but again, the Chiefs were too much for Philly. But again, and then the Panthers beat the Cowboys. And that reminds me before, or not the Panthers beat the Cowboys. Again, I'm having a rough one today after the AL wildcard game, but the Cowboys beat the Panthers, but the Panthers just so happened, and I saw this like 20 minutes ago, the Panthers traded for Stephon Gilmore, if I'm not mistaken. Stephon Gilmore's heading to Carolina, and I know he's not going to be active for like 3 more weeks, I think, until like week 7. So, again, that's a big move right there. But again, the Cowboys ended up beating the Panthers 36-28. Seahawks beat the Niners 28-21. I already went over the Packers and Steelers game. I went over the Buccaneers and Patriots. Ravens blew out the Broncos 23-7. And that basically sums up week 5. I know the Bears beat the Lions. Browns beat the Vikings. The Washington football team beat the Falcons. The Colts beat the Dolphins, the Jets beat the Titans, and the Bengals beat the Jaguars. And that reminds me, speaking of the Jaguars, talk about the incident for Urban Meyer. I would talk about that incident, but I think I'm going to wait for the next episode to really get my thoughts together about that. But it's, let's just say, anyone who knows about the incident, it's looking like Urban Meyer could be on his way out before the midway point of the season. Well, let's just leave it at that. But anyway, enough of football, at least for this week. Let's go to the NHL. Hockey is back. Hockey is back. Preseason hockey. It's all going down this week. I mean, today we got more preseason action. The Caps against the Bruins, the Red Wings, the Blue Jackets, the Devils and Rangers, Flames, Jets, Blues and Wild, Kings and Ducks. Oh, man. I've been waiting for this. I have been waiting for hockey to be back. It's so much more fun now. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy watching football as well. But having hockey back, it just makes it even sweeter. So now I won't be completely glued watching and covering one sport. I'll be able to cover multiple sports. And basketball's coming back too. The NBA is going to be back soon too. So I'll be covering three sports now. I'm basically going to be covering three sports aside from the MLB postseason. So technically, I'll still be covering four, but MLB's in the postseason. They're in the final leg. But again, it's going to be fun. And then I believe Tuesday, October 12th is opening night for the NHL. Let's see. I could be wrong. Yes, Tuesday, October 12th. Doubleheader. Pens, Light, and the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. And the debut of the Seattle Kraken against the Vegas Golden Knights. That's a game I'm going to be watching because I'm going to be curious to see. You know, I want to see what the Kraken look like. I've seen their uniforms, and I'm not going to lie. They're pretty sick. I mean, the whole color wave, the colors that go together. I just think it works so perfectly. And you know what? It's a good thing for the sport. I know Seattle lost their basketball team a while back. They've only had the Seattle Sounders and the Seattle Seahawks. That's really it. I mean, and now with hockey coming to the city, it's just great for the sport in general. So, I think, you know, hockey's going to become even more popular in Seattle now. If it wasn't already popular over there, the Kraken are going to increase the popularity. Business is going to be booming over there in Seattle. And then Wednesday, October 13th, this is where we get more games into the mix. The second night of hockey, Canadiens Maple Leafs, Rangers Capitals. I'll be watching. That's the game I'll be watching. I mean, I'll be trying to keep up with every game, but the Rangers Caps game, I've had my eye on for a while, especially if you know, anyone knows me, you know I'm a New York Rangers fan, but anyone that knows me, you know exactly why I'll be watching. You'll know exactly why I'll be watching that game, you know, the whole incident with Tom Wilson near the end of the season. So that's going to be entertainment. Then the Jets, Ducks, Blackhawks, and Avalanche, and then the Canucks, Oilers. Say it with me, hockey fans. Hockey is back. And I honestly, it's about time. It's been, 3 months too long? Like, when did the season end? June? Like, July, August, September, October? Yeah, it's been like three months too long. But with that being said, that's it for me. That's it for this episode. Probably not going to make another episode for a bit. I know this is a little bit too early. I usually try to make one once a week. But this is twice in the same week. It's a rarity you see me do this. But that being said, I'll see you in the next episode. Peace.